of ways to spend time. But I am amazed by people that grow things. And I understand why Jesus told stories that people could understand. Particularly, he told stories that were from their everyday life. And it wasn't like if you ran out of milk at 11 o'clock at night, you could run down to 7-Eleven back then. They had to plan their meals daily. And they were very involved in planning them, including growing crops. And so he told many stories about the experience of growing things. And today, to bring our scripture to life, which is found in Mark chapter 4, I've asked the children to give us a dramatic interpretation of the parable of the soils.
Once a sower took his needle and thread and began to sow seeds. Oh, wait. Wrong kind of sowing. Okay, let's start over. Once a sower, that is a farmer, planted his seeds. He watched hopefully as the seeds scattered and skipped through the fields, as they made seed noises and looked for a place to settle. Wiping the sweat from his brow, the sower watched hopefully, waiting for the seeds to bear fruit. With a loud voice, he sat down upon his throne, and he cheered for his seeds. Seed one was healthy, a hopeful seed. She danced through the field, stretching her arms, making more seed noises, and looked for a place to burrow in the dirt. It had been a long journey, and Seed One began looking for a place to land. She happened to fall on the soil along the path next to the road. But Seed One whined, like, ouch, this soil is totally hard. It's like so pathetic. I'm like, whatever. And it lay uncomfortably on top of the road, twisting and turning and trying to get comfortable. Suddenly, birds flapped down towards the seed. The birds called to each other and then snatched up the seed and carried her away. The sower was disappointed and angry. He said, "Man, that soil was for the birds." He started to rise from his throne. But he just stayed seated. Seed two blew all the way to the Avery from the opposite side of the room, where she fell onto a rocky place where there wasn't much soil. The rocky soil looked at seed two and said,
"Yo, Adrian, you're looking pretty good today."
Seed two did look promising. It sprung up and began to dance around, pounding its chest, waving its arms in the air like a champion. The sower even stood to his feet and began to sing a song about how excited he was about his seed. It was not a very long song, evidently. But alas, the rocky soil grew quiet. And Seed 2 got very discouraged because no one would root for her. Seed 2 cried, "Oh, this soil is too shallow." As if it wasn't bad enough, the sower watched the sun beat down and scorch Seed 2.
"I'm melting."
And then she withered and died. The sower pounded his hands together and said, "Cursed! Soiled again!" But the thorny soil was all too willing to welcome Seed 3. As soon as Seed 3 was settled down into the thorny soil, things got ugly fast.
thorns reached over and choked the life out of the seed. These three went down and gasped. The soil has too many thorns and weeds, she cried. And with that, she coughed, gagged, tried unsuccessfully to stand, gagged some more, coughed, did this for a really long time. And then finally, she took her last breath and fell down.
Dead.
Once again, the sower had to watch his seedling die, never to produce the grain he had been hoping for. His head began to pound with a pain as he thought about his tragic waste. Oh, my grain! He groaned. As far as we know it, this is the first recording in the Bible of a migraine headache. But seed four, however, fell upon good soil. I mean good soil. It was welcomed, embraced, patted on the head, pat on the back. It was even given a 15-second massage. They loved each other so much they even fed each other a sandwich. And with her most satisfied voice, the seedling said, this soil is just right. She grew up strong and began to bear fruit. God, you see, sows his seed in our hearts, depending on our attitude towards God's word, that is, on what kind of soil is in our hearts. We can bear much fruit, or our name will be mud.
Terrific job bringing scripture to life and humor. When Jesus told this parable, we are further enlightened that in the three Gospels where this story is told in various versions, it is said that they didn't understand. And so the scripture passage goes on. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones who are sown on the rocky ground. And when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things comes in and chokes the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit." And share a sandwich? No, that's not in scripture. 30 and 60 and 100-fold. May God bless both the dramatic explanation and the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for our children. I thank you for them growing and that they represent the joy of life that we can come to. I would pray that you would open your word to our hearts and minds. For Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. even now as we look at your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. There was a middle-aged man who was kind of concerned about his wife's stubborn refusal to admit she had a hearing problem. So one day he made an appointment with the family doctor seeking advice. He went to the doctor and he told the doctor that every time he spoke to his wife, she would not answer him. No matter what happened, she wouldn't answer him. He thought she was being either stubborn or was not facing the fact that she couldn't hear. And the doctor paused and stroked his chin and gave him this response. He said, "When you come home from work, go to your wife and say, 'Dear, what's for dinner? I can't wait.'" And the guy says, "But what if she doesn't respond?" "Then go right up to her and say, 'Sweetheart, I'm so glad to be home sharing a meal with you. Could you, what's for dinner tonight?'" And he says, "Well, what happens if that doesn't? If that doesn't happen, creep into the kitchen, gently touch her on the shoulder, kiss her forehead, and say, 'Sweetheart, what is for dinner tonight?'" So he went home, hopefully trying this new attempt that the doctor had said. He followed the prescription exactly. He went in, he said, "What's for dinner?" Didn't hear a thing. He went to the door, he said, "What's for dinner, sweetheart? I'm so excited to have your food." No response. He went into her, and sure enough, she was at the kitchen working. And he said, he went up and tenderly kissed her and he said, "What's for dinner?" He didn't hear a thing. He said, "Why don't you ever answer me?" And she turned around and she looked at him. "I said meatloaf 4 times. For those of you who don't get it, he was the one with the hearing problem. In verse 9, Jesus says, "Let the one who has ears to hear, hear." Now, this obviously pertains to understanding our spiritual direction in life. And those who cannot hear don't get it. And those who can hear clearly get it. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do with Scripture is to apply it to our own lives. For many folks, it's easier to make the application for other people. One pastor tells the story of a dear little lady that would come out every week. And every week she would say, "You sure preached it to him today, Pastor." And after time of hearing this, he felt good and it was a nice message. But he thought, well, doesn't she think anything I'm saying pertains to her? It's always, you preached it to them. And it was a small town in Iowa, and one winter it was snowed in. And she was the only one that was able to show up at worship. He got a kind of grin inside. He said, "I wonder what she'll have to say today. Because she's the only one to listen to my sermon." So he preached the word, and he preached it extra hard. And after the service, he waited to greet her. And as she came out, she looked at him and she said, "Too bad they weren't here today, because you sure preached it to a pastor." Typically, I think those of us in the church read this parable and we think to ourselves, "Gosh, I'm glad I'm the good soil. I'm so glad I'm nurtured because I showed up at church today." But if you think about it, this could be a very serious mistake. Because two things are true. The first is that Jesus' closest disciples didn't get it. Now, these were the ones that showed up with him every week. They were there and they watched and they listened. So you know what? That's some good news for us. Because if they don't get it, and sometimes we don't get it, we're in good company, aren't we? But the truth is, we've got to be very careful, because the second thing is true about soil, too. Soil changes. Soil is something that can be very good and rich one year and can be leaking with alkali and other contaminants the next year. So maybe we need to look at this parable again and think about it with us examining how each of the soils have a part of our lives. Lily Tomlin once humorously reminded people of the necessity of goals. She said, "I always wanted to be somebody, but I should have been more specific." You know, that's true. We all want to be somebody, don't we? But what kind of person do we want to be? That's what Scripture's concerned with. So I'm going to ask you, what's your soil like this morning? I think it's more important that we think about how we can work on our soil than what kind of soil we are. Because we know that all dirt is not equal. There's dirt and then there's good dirt. And there's extraordinary dirt. And sometimes we're blessed with good dirt, and sometimes our dirt is so bad it wouldn't even grow weeds. Sometimes in our lives, we inherit some good soil situations, don't we? I mean, everything's going right, it's lined up. There's good communication between the sound guy and the preacher. And then sometimes the preacher gets it all screwed up. But the truth is, we're not victims of fate. If the disciples didn't get it, we know that later in their lives they did, didn't they? So stick with it. Work on the soil, because the soil is not fatalistic. You're not handed hard ground and that's it and that's your lot in life. Sometimes we have to take the soil that we're given and make soil better for us. Do you know, it's interesting. We look at this and we go, what an idiot this farmer was. I mean, he just scattered his seed recklessly. That's Mr. You didn't hear Sarah. She goes, "That's Mr. Josh." The truth is, in Palestine, it was very common to scatter seed. Seed was not the expensive part of the process. They scattered it wherever because they were going to plow it after. Now, in our world, we plow before we plant. But in that world, they threw the seed out and then plowed so that the seed would go under. So what he's saying here is not about the sower. It's about what happens to the seed and the ground. And in one case, there is too hard a ground. Now, we know that hard ground makes it difficult for anything to grow. And we know that's true in life. We know that we've come up with people, and sometimes our own stubbornness, maybe our own fear or our own anger, has so paralyzed us that we are not open to suggestions or solutions in life. And what happens is this seed lays on hard ground, but it is very vulnerable. It's vulnerable, as Jesus says, to Satan. That is the evil of the world. When you're so hard that you can't hear a solution, when you're so cut off that you can't accept someone's hug because your misery is so horrible, then you're in danger. Because at that point, you're vulnerable to a disposition of life that cuts you off from people, from love, and from solutions. The hard ground can be very dangerous. Not because it can't be solved, but because before it's solved, it can get swept away by our emotional responses. How about the rocky ground? The rocky ground is covered with all these rocks. But the ground has some places where the roots can go down. They actually grow down into the soil itself. But the they can't go deep because of the rocks. And so since they can't go deep, they don't get enough nourishment to succeed. Could this be you? You know, in Santa Clarita, we have a hot, dry climate. If you water your lawn in the middle of the day for only 5 minutes, do you think your lawn is getting much nourishment? No, because the sun dries it up before it can soak in and the roots can get the nourishment. You either water early in the morning or late at night when there isn't a lot of heat to take away or dissipate the water. And you have to do it a little longer than usual in hot weather so that it can actually soak in it and take in the nourishment. The same thing's true with our spirit. You might have a great experience with God at some event and feel the presence of God. But you know what? That's not enough to sustain you. You have to soak yourself. Otherwise, you dry up. And you do that. You know, we offer all these Life Academy classes, not even so much that you just get the information, but that you get to talk to other people about what you feel and believe. See, we don't have enough forums where we talk about spiritual matters in our busy modern world. So they carve out spaces. There are prayer teams to pray for you and about you. The Stevens ministers are here after worship to pray personally with you. There is a prayer chain that Jackie faithfully prays for people and gets other people to pray for with a phone tree. So there are all these opportunities, but do you soak yourself in them? You see, you might want to know what this fruit is. Later, Paul defines it very well. In Galatians 5, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, what is to be accomplished by these growing plants, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law." That is, you can't legislate the fruit. And you think about any descriptor on that list. And if people show it to you, how do you feel? Enriched? Good? Annoyed? Bothered? You see, fruit is something that we long for. Good, juicy peach in season. Can't be beat. Same thing's true spiritually. Tim Hansel was a rock climbing guide when I was starting High Adventure Camp, and I went to him and we spent a lot of time talking about outward bound types of camps because that's what I was modeling it after. And he was a man who had a climbing accident when he was about 45. He was doing some ice climbing and fell through a crevice and had his spine compressed. He's written a number of books on the experience of the healing and how painful that has been and how limiting and how much he has sought joy. But in it, he makes a comment that I've always held dear. He says, "Strong people make as many and as ghastly a mistakes as weak people." We don't need to be good seed all the time. The difference is that strong people admit their mistakes, laugh at their mistakes, and learn from their mistakes. Which are you? He says, that's how they become strong people. We have to see that we need watering. What about the weedy soil? Could this be you? The verse 19 describes these people this way, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and choke the word of God, making it unfruitful." Wow. That describes the busyness of my life to a T. How about yours? Do you have the feeling, I just really want to get to a Life Academy class, but my neighbors invited me over for a little barbecue today, but there's softball, and there's that sports program for our kids, and the list goes on, doesn't it? And they're all great options, and I do not mean to beat up on you. because my life is filled with them too. But I do think we need to consider what it means to be pulled away from God. I'll get to that. I really love God, and I'm going to read the Bible one of these days. Problem with one of these days is it gets put off and put off and put off. I'm going to grab my neighbor and talk to him about what I believe. Tomorrow. Next week. You see, that's what happened. There was a couple once that got a job house sitting. They were in seminary, and this job was offered to them through their church. It was a really tricked out mansion. But the problem was the people were pretty finicky, and they didn't realize that until they showed up to do the gig. They were going to watch the house all summer long, but when they showed up, they saw this exceptional white carpeting everywhere. And they were instructed that because of the carpeting, they could not wear shoes in the house. Nor could they go barefoot because of the oils in their feet. Well, it's not uncommon in places where there's lots of mud for people to take off their shoes when they enter a house and to stay in socks. So they thought that's not too bad. But then there was more instruction. They said they were only to have a certain number of steps per room. And the carpet being quite lush, they were only to step in the place previously stepped upon. And even more, when they entered a room, they were to walk directly to their destination, whether it was to the chair, the table, the phone, but no wandering about the room. Well, this young couple that was doing the house sitting thought, well, hey, no problem. The night before the owners get back, we'll vacuum everything. They won't be any the wiser. Problem was, the owners came back a week early and made a sudden appearance and saw footprints everywhere. And they were furious. The owners cut their vacation short, fired the friends, and immediately went about the task of caring for their carpet. And the man who told this story said, being a family with a house full of great carpeting and being a family without a life. You see, the truth is, we too kind of wander around, don't we? And we need sometimes to focus. And we need people have troubles getting their spiritual priorities because the worries of life are so great. And as one T-shirt said on it that I read once, lead me not into temptation. I can find it for myself. The worst thing is that people who either live in rocky soil or weedy soil or hard soil have difficulty accepting the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do you pray that God is with you in decisions? Do you ask actively for God to be present with you in the difficulties of life, as well as in the celebrations? It becomes a way of bringing the fruit into your life. And good soil can do that. Jesus says it produces 30, 60, or 100 fold. Do you know the average yield of Palestine in that time was between 10 and 100 fold? So 100 was not unmanageable. It's not like one of his parables where it's outlandish. It's attainable. But there are factors that we can never vary in. The crises in our lives, the certain seasons of our lives. We don't know how much fruit we can produce. And even when things are going terrifically, isn't it God's job to produce? It's just our job to be faithful. But Isaac was told in Genesis 26, he planted the crops in the land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord had blessed him. Do you see the blessings in your life? I think good soil takes time to remember that. The love that's in your life. My wife's getting ready to celebrate her birthday. And she hates me for doing this right now. But I thank God for her regularly. She's a woman that tries to do more for people than anyone I've ever met. And I love that because it shows me how lacking I am sometimes. And I do thank God. What do you thank God for? What allows you to stay with the good soil? You see, when Jesus told the people, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside of everything can see but never perceive, can hear but never understand, was not stealing something out of the blue. He was quoting Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 that says, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Jesus knew his scripture. He really studied it. He incorporated that. He thought about what Isaiah said. It's kind of a strange sentence. Unless you understand the paradox. Oh, just keep them bad soil. Because if you keep them bad soil, they won't be healed. In this passage, there is hope for everyone to change their soil, to be healed. Just as Jesus says at the end of this parable that they may be forgiven. It's an amazing thing to look at Scripture and see that God desires for us healing and forgiveness and desires for our lives to produce fruit. Luke, in his version of the story, ends it this way. He says, but as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with a patient endurance. Spiritual maturity is not about superior intellect. It's not about understanding all things or education. It's about being open. And sometimes children get it better than we do. They can receive love more openly. They can share it more beautifully. Because our soil condition gets messed up. We're beginning the stewardship campaign today. It's the first step in preparing our hearts to participate in the work of the church, is to till the soil in our lives. Actively pursue living a Christian lifestyle. To learn from the conversations over Scripture and the practice of conforming our lives to Christ. That's stewardship. Stewardship is saying who I am is a vessel of a living God to share with the world. And how I come off is my stewardship. It's only if we fix ourselves on that task of preparing the soil that we'll be prepared to take the necessary steps to cultivating a life that promises joy and peace. So our stewardship committee created this budget pie chart. It shows you the different things that are going on. And each week, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this chart and about as I watch your pledges come in. Because this week, we're going to mail you pledge cards. And I was thinking about tending a good garden. And I was thinking about our children doing this. And as I was teaching the Life Academy class on the history of the Jews on Wednesday, I came across this one verse in the book of Judges. Judges is all about a cycle of people not having, falling away from God, getting in trouble and messed up, and then crying out to God and God delivering them. Only to get complacent and to fall into disassociation with God and then get in trouble and cry out. And there's this one verse that says, moreover, and it happens right after Joshua dies. It says, moreover, that whole generation was gathered to their ancestors. So Joshua and his whole generation left. and another generation grew up after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. How would it be if we didn't have a children's program or a church that would support our youth and our children as they go through the questions of what makes sense in this world? Who am I really? Whose am I really? Are they going to listen to all the competing voices on television and in the media and in the violent games they play? Is that going to be their understanding of who they are, whose they are? No, the faithfulness of our stewardship keeps this church going only for one reason: for us to shine on a hill the light of Christ. So this year, I want you to think about your pledge. It is not getting money to the church. That's not what stewardship is about. Stewardship is about reminding us that part of our faithfulness in cultivating the soil in our lives is how we allocate our finances, as well as our time, as well as the talents that God has given us. And if our soil's right, we'll be eager to demonstrate that. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for our children and the great way they brought the scripture to life. Thank you for this day as they lead us in worship. Thank you for your church. You call us your bride. Allow us to glow like a bride at the wedding as we try to keep our soil strong so our fruit can be good and juicy. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.